Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. This is Veronica Entwistle, and this is the show Radiance by I forget what the name of my own show is. It's called Radiance by Design. And remember, it's a show about you and lifting and radiating your frequencies consciously in order to shift your reality consciously. And today, instead of doing my normal call-in and my show, I've invited a wonderful woman, a practical mystic, as she calls herself, Ellie Drew, who represents the Institute for Conscious Change. And Ellie is one who really brings together many of the aspects of manifestation. She says that it's time for us healers to get going and manifest what the life is that we want as well. So welcome from Tucson, Arizona, Miss Ellie Drew. How are you?
I'm wonderful, and thank you for having me on.
I'm very pleased to be talking to you, and we're both going to be sharing some of the experiences of the Dowsers Conference in Santa Cruz, coming up over the July 4th weekend. So you're part of the lineup there. That's pretty exciting too, isn't it?
It is. I'm doing several really special things, in particular a sacred forgiveness ceremony that we'll be able to do a little bit at the end of the show here for your listeners.
That's wonderful. I always like to give people, I like everybody who's on my shows to give people experience that they can take with them.
Yeah.
I love what it is, you know, I was reading some of the information on your website, and I love when you said that your guidance told you that it was time for, I can't get the quote exactly.
Oh, the Healer's Awakened Ones. Are you talking about the manifesting information?
Yes. So you're talking about manifesting, and you and I know a lot of us are talking about it all the time, but that line, I went, bang! So many healers are struggling financially or, you know, to embody the third dimension as well as their work.
Yeah,
so,
and I'm very much about finding that balance in every aspect of life. Yeah, that experience happened when I was 18 and spent 9 months in prayer, fasting, and meditation. During that time, I learned to hold my thoughts in a particular way, and things were happening. And I talked to my friends at the time who were very conservative Christians, and they said, well, God's answering your prayer. I'm thinking, well, I see you hoping for, wishing for, desiring, praying for things really intensely, and sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't. But I'm telling you, it's always happening here for me. Whatever it is that I'm holding my thoughts to in a really pure way, boom, it's happening. And
what do you mean by a pure way?
There's a sense of innocence and surrender and absolute presence, that there's five aspects that come together. It's like cooking banana bread. You have all the ingredients there, but you don't taste the individual ingredients except for the bananas. You know, you have all these aspects, these five aspects in the manifestation process that all have to come together, and they come together in a like less than a second. Boom, and you've created an intention field. So when I'm teaching, what I do is I take that microsecond and I pull it apart so people can see the five aspects that are involved. And then people go, oh, I was missing that one, or yeah, I had that one. But part of it is just having a sweet, innocent spirit and working with the God Force energy.
And so what are you saying, that you bring it in meditatively? You call in the God Force energy or Source energy?
Well, there's really two ways that you can do it. Most manifesting happens very unconsciously, and moving into that quantum field takes absolute presence to happen. And primarily people do it when they're afraid or when they're angry. You know, I'll never forgive him, or times when people are really afraid or really angry, and boom, they're very present because they're afraid they almost get in a car accident, or they're angry or something like that. It brings them into presence. So when you can train the mind properly, you can learn to bring in and align into presence so you can drop into that quantum field. Once you make a fixed statement during that time, you pop out of that kind of quantum field, or I don't even know what to call it, but that's what I call it, and then it starts showing up in your life.
So it isn't really like all our affirmations.
Meditator, then people can do it, they can hold their mind focused for longer periods of time. It's one of the reasons to be an experienced meditator.
What style is your meditation?
There's never been a time in my life when I haven't meditated. My meditations are actually very active. From the time I was very, very young, I would close my eyes, put my pillows up at the headboard, and close my eyes, and it was feelings of washing through my system, gratitude, or I'd read something inspirational beforehand, or read the Bible, or read other inspirational material, and then I would be able to go in, and I would have intuitions and inner teachers, and I could ask anything I wanted, and answers would come to me, and sometimes little pieces of answers would come, but typically it would come over the course of a long period of time.
Now, Ellie, was that when you were tiny?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. My mom said when I was born, it was very odd because I was right there and I looked at her, I looked at the doctors, I looked at everybody, and I was wide awake.
Really?
So
you would say
thing.
That you were meant to do this?
Yeah, I was. It really is my primary work. And how it fits into the sacred forgiveness ceremony information was really startling to me because the conscious manifesting work that I teach is so important. But as I started doing private sessions with people and readings with people, I found out that when a person makes some of these really strong fixed ideas, these really strong power thoughts, and they've done it in the right formula, it's not just thinking, you really are creating an intention field, they can transcend lifetimes.
Well, and so I'm not exactly sure what the click is. You said there are five phases of it?
Five aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth is actually the first, but the mind can't get to the fifth one until you go through the other four. Would you like to hear what they are?
I would love to. I bet the listeners would.
Yeah, it takes me a minimum of 2 hours to really fully describe this whole thing.
We don't have that.
But I'm going to give you the brief version of it right now.
Great.
So the first thing you have to do is you have to name what it is you want. So I'm going to use the analogy of a bow and arrow.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a bow and arrow and you say, well, I want to shoot something, well, what do you want to shoot? You know, you could shoot anywhere, up, down, around, 360 degrees, all around. So you have to decide what it is. And once you decide, it's 90% of it. Because
mm-hmm.
most of the time, people can't figure out what it is that they want to go for. And that's why people who are really successful,
mm-hmm.
they always know what they want. Boom, boom, boom. They always know what they want. The second aspect is something needs to power the process. So strong emotion. Oftentimes it is mistaught that you only use positive emotion. And as I said earlier, most manifesting happens unconsciously when somebody's angry or afraid. So emotion, strong emotion, the power of passion, it can be positive or it can be negative. Once you know the manifestation process, you can use whatever emotions, strong emotions come up.
Well,
to
that's
create
a relief,
something
isn't
positive.
It?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to have and think really well, think out the statements that you want to manifest ahead of time. So, because you can't just generate emotion. Well, I did have one woman generate emotion. But for the most part, you want to wait till you've got that oomph that's there and then, boom, nail it. Use that energy consciously.
So you mean if you're like heartsick about something, you drop into it and see what it is you're wanting, what it is you'd rather have or create?
Well, that part of it is you can really think it through, and I encourage people to really think through what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get to the fifth part where you put it all, or, you know, the last part where you kind of put it all together in that kind of microsecond.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, people have to, name what it is they want. And like I said, it's, a lot of times it's very unconscious, like I'll never forgive him. You know, it's unconscious, but it's named with power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what gets us into trouble. So anytime somebody's in high drama and high emotion, be very careful about not naming things. That's really important not to name things during those times. So the third aspect is your belief. An exercise that I put people through is imagine that you want to win the lottery and listen to your mind go on, oh, that'll never happen. Yeah, sure, right, never going to happen. And so you may be able to name what it is you want, but when you get to that third aspect, what do you really believe? It's going to be part of the recipe. So if you have your cup is always full, you're going to be luckier than people who your cup is always empty, because it's how you're going to, it's like the ingredients that go into the formula.
Hmm.
It plays a part. And in a little bit, I can go through the three things that really affect strongly what the how the manifestation plays out in somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
But the beliefs are really important. So if somebody has a strong belief in God, that God is going to take care of them, then that strong belief can flow through to help them what they want.
Hmm.
If they have a strong belief, like I had in a situation where somebody had or where I was playing with the manifestation process, just to play with it. And I said, well, I'm going to manifest for $50,000 just to see what shows up. And I really did it with power. And within 3 days, I literally had an opportunity to make $50,000 in 6 weeks.
Wow.
Illegally.
Illegally.
That's right.
So did you do it, Allie?
No, of course not. But the point that I'm saying is that when I go to that belief system, that aspect three, if you have a belief that you're praying to God and this opportunity shows up, someone might justify their actions by doing it, even if it's illegal, based on their belief.
Hmm.
See? So there's a lot more involved in the manifestation process.
So you get people to actually understand the belief structure.
And the implications of it. And for us to really start taking responsibility for our thoughts. And anyway, so I'll get to the aspects that affect it.
Okay.
So those are really active aspects, the first three. Name what you want. There has to be energy behind it. And there has to be some kind of belief behind it to power it also. The fourth aspect is the power of surrender. So it's that divine nonchalance. It's that relaxation into it. People name it as let go and let God. It is...
I love divine nonchalance.
Yeah, it's perfect. Actually, that came from British Columbia when I was teaching up there, and this woman was walking past the stage as I was explaining this, and she swirled her hand in this very dramatic way and go, I call that divine nonchalance, and it was just so perfect. So you can't be needy. You know, step four is really about not being needy.
Okay.
You want it, but you aren't needy grasping for it. Because if you're needy and graspy, you're not in the process.
Okay.
So it can't happen. One way that I help people to get through that is you set your intention in that piece of it to say, this or something better.
Mm-hmm.
It helps the internal mind to relax into it. So the fifth piece, and as I said earlier, that's really the first piece, but the mind needs the other four aspects, is to move into presence. And it is...
Into the present?
Into present time. And the visual that I had received in this, in a vision, was that I saw like a little cardboard figure, all cut up in every section, from the top to the bottom, in five inch increments, and it was all facing different directions into the past and into the future. It was, and there was maybe one piece that was facing straight forward, and even the eyes, one was going into the past, one was going into the future. And so when you pull yourself right into your central channel that goes from the top of your head to your perineum, right down that central core, and you feel as if you're standing in that central core, it's really a power base for us. And you're absolutely, I mean, you can't hear anything else. You can only be present in this place. Boom. Then you can move. If the rest of those aspects are ready to go, you can move and into that quantum field, create a power statement, come back out of it, and then think opportunities will start showing up in your life. Now, some of those opportunities you may like, and some of those opportunities you may not like. So you don't have to take every one that comes by. So here's
how do you decide? Through feeling?
Say that again?
I say, how do you decide which one to take? I guess it's a feeling and the knowing your own beliefs, knowing your mind, knowing what you really want.
And being really practical. You know, like I had a young woman come in to me and she said, well, I want to, she was complaining about her job. Well, how were you holding your intention? I wanted a job. I said, you got a job. See, and then when she decides, oftentimes people retweak their manifesting or start becoming more conscious with their manifesting because they find out what they don't want. So once they
you
find
mean
out,
she got a job, but she got a job she didn't like?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I said, isn't it just easier to set up your intention ahead of time? I want a job where I work part-time 10 months of the year, making, you know, X amount of money, you know, whatever. I want great people that I'm going to work with. I want to start my own company. You know, it helps how we find out what it is we want is by oftentimes finding out what we don't want through
mm-hmm.
experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know a lot of people who are healers in that, and I said, well, do you make enough money to support yourself? No. Well, then do something else with that, or maybe that's your service work. You know, there's ways to be practical. And there's a law in the universe that says when you engage the universe, it's going to engage you back. And so You have to keep moving in life.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think a healer who doesn't make enough money is has to split her focus or his focus, or do you think they can improve their manifestation doing the work that comes from their spirit? You know?
Well, here's what I have found in that. There's very few people who can make a really good living being healers, and it becomes a real issue. Oftentimes, they end up pairing up, so a couple of partners get together, husband-wife team or something like this, where one is the main breadwinner, just like raising a family. Like one person might stay home or work part-time, and one will be full-time work. And there's partnering up, or there's people who are going in now and sharing a healing room because they're not going to be using it all the time. People are finding really creative ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are realizing that that's part of their spiritual growth and it's part of their service to humanity, but they have another job that supports the bills and the travel that they want to do and the car fund, the insurance fund, health care.
I guess my question is sort of wrapped around that concept of if you have a strong enough intention and you've clarified your belief structures and you found out what your past is doing to curtail your future, can you not become a very vibrant healer that makes enough money? You know what I'm saying? No matter what the market looks like.
Yeah, I do. And the numbers are not playing out in real life.
Hmm.
I'm seeing that there are creative ways that it's happening for some people. I'm seeing more people who are not being well supported because they don't want to look at being responsible in their finances. You know, when I first started doing readings, one of the primary questions that there was what's my life purpose? And the spirits would yell at people going, we're not here to live your life for you. What do you want to do? And I was having this kind of three-way dialogue going, you know, I don't want to yell at people. Really, people really want to know what their life purpose is. And you know, we have a disservice here in the Western world without having some of the lineage that the Eastern world has, that when you're a child, you're being a child, and your life purpose is to learn how to walk and crawl and talk and communicate and share toys. Learn not how to be in a diaper any longer. And when you're a student, you're a student. And when you're a householder, you're a householder. And so there's stages of life that there's appropriateness to be doing certain practical things in your life. But eventually, what I was getting from the spirits is I started seeing these five circles around a person. So one circle would be above the head, two were underneath the feet, and two were underneath the hands. So it was five in this circle. And the two under the feet, one was a money sign, and it was all about finances. And the other one was health. And so if you don't take care of your finances in really practical ways, if you don't take care of your health with exercise and good nutrition in really good practical ways, it always feels like you're off balance. Another one of the circle was above the head was your was your spirituality. And I said, well, you know, what is spirituality? I mean, we hear so much about spirituality, but what really is it? And finally, I got this quote that I love so much: that which inspires you. So for many healers, that's what inspires them. That's what inspires them. It's part of their spirituality. But it may not also be their financial foot, you know, that financial piece. Now, sometimes when I'm doing readings for people, the healing work will light up underneath that financial foot. A lot of them will light up underneath the hand that is for service to humanity. You know, it's part of their volunteer time, part of their like in the Healing Touch International program, there's Healing Touch nurses and practitioners that go into hospitals. And it's part of their nursing career or part of their volunteering when they're in the hospitals. What I have mostly found, to kind of continue with your question, for people who are wanting to manifest good finances and being a healer is... I lost my train of thought here. But what I have found is that all of a sudden they'll be at a cocktail party or something, or a dinner party, and somebody will start talking to them about money management. And they'll completely ignore it because they want to be a healer. And see, they may have been praying for, hoping for, trying to manifest for better money management, and here's somebody sitting right next to them at a dinner party, and they completely ignore it. So, you know, that's the kind of things that... When spirit answers, mm-hmm. it's always going to answer, and it's going to answer in 50 different ways. It might be the advertisement that's coming up saying, there's a course at your local community college on money management or marketing or something like that. And so it's really learning to balance out the whole person, the whole skills.
So if you're reading someone and you see these bubbles under the circles under the foot, you know, you see them. What's my question? My question is, in this conscious manifestation process, mm-hmm. do we need to really discover more and more? Maybe it's not our central purpose, but isn't it wise to discover where our lights are the strongest in order to really manifest along those lines? Meaning, if you have no light around your, for example, the money one, and that's the biggest bugaboo for healers, isn't it?
Well, the whole idea about these five circles is that all of them need to be lit up. And I know your listeners are going to want to know, what's under that other hand, please? And that's your core, your inner circle, your friends and family and people who love and support you emotionally.
That's under the left hand?
Yeah, it is. And so that all of your circles need to light up. It's just when I'm doing a reading for somebody, if somebody is talking about like job opportunities, they might mention three or four job opportunities, and they'll show up at different, like light, it's like a light meter. You know, some of it will show up in that finance thing. But I think one of the reasons, and sometimes it won't. Sometimes it'll show up with service, and sometimes it's inspiration for their
own. So does that tell us that certain manifestations are way easier for me than for you or blah, 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 for whoever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the universe is always going to respond. The question is, are you listening? Are you listening and taking action?
Okay.
You know, so if the dinner party companion sitting right next to you has got an opportunity here, but you're ignoring it, you know, you're ignoring it.
So what you're saying is that if the person did do that and did respond to the money management course from the dinner partner, blah, 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 the circles will light up more evenly?
Yeah, always when a person is more balanced. And I think this is why the Hindus have I can't remember what it's called right now, but some of your listeners is going to know exactly what I'm talking about. For as you go through the flow of your life, there's certain things that you're doing, and as you're older, mostly you spend more time on your spirituality. But always there needs to be time developing each of these skills. I mean, you're hoping that, and it doesn't happen. We don't get good money management education when we're in high school. We don't get good nutrition and necessarily exercise life skills when we're in high school, when those are the skills that should be being taught, and they're not even taught in the school systems, and if they don't get them at home, then they have to take that time as an adult to start learning those things. But let me come back to that piece about your life purpose. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, it was almost like the spirits kind of had a powwow for a little while, and all of a sudden they came back to me and they said, okay, we have the life purpose, and everybody has the same life purpose. And I said, oh, really? Please tell me. I'd like to know this. And I said, here it is. This is the answer we want you to give people. Everybody's life purpose is the same, and it's to be their most authentic self.
Okay, I really am in agreement with that.
And why that was so important is because if people are making decisions based on their neediness, I want that man in my life, I want my parents to pay for everything, or whatever it is, if they're needy, or if they're making decisions based on their culturalization or their religion or whatever it is, they're not being authentic. They're being programmed, and they need to move into their center to become authentic, because once you move into that authentic place, then you're going to emerge. You're going to make decisions not from your head. You're going to emerge from your power centers and make decisions based on that. So what you'll find is that that dinner party companion led to somebody else, which led to somebody else, which led to your true love, which led to great finances and partnerships and office space and different career opportunities where you could use your healing or whatever in ways that you could never have imagined, going into corporate America or where there's more money, you know, however. But once you start moving into that authentic place, it's like dominoes start happening, and you go, oh my God, I've got this magical life. And that's the languaging that I use. I had a study group where we researched different words and the impact of words, and magical was a great word to use. I want a magical life. I want a magical vacation.
And it was very expansive and bubbly, hey?
Oh, yeah, I could.
Did you ever live inauthentically? Did you ever struggle with that?
With being authentic?
With living inauthentically and having to improve or having to step into a more authentic pattern.
You know, this is a kind of a discussion that I've been having with some friends of mine. You know, when I was 18, I'm spending this 9 months in prayer, fasting, and meditation. I'm completely in this mystical place. But when I came out of it, even having the awarenesses that I did and the connection to spirit I did, I was still 18. I still had to mature about relationships. I still had to go through college. I still learned things as I got married. And maturity, it takes time. It takes years. It's like a good wine. You know, it needs time to mature.
What did you study at university?
Nutrition,
good.
Both my bachelor's and my master's degree are in human nutrition. So I think like a scientist, and I married a PhD mechanical engineer. And so that's why this study group for me, manifesting for me is very black and white. It's working or it's not working. You're either thinking or you're doing power thoughts. So
you're either thinking. What did you say there?
You're either thinking or doing a power thought, and we don't really do power thoughts that often. Remember when Shakti Gwain's book came out, Creative Visualization, in the 70s? It was so big, and people were so excited about it, and she was speaking all over, and then pretty soon people started getting disillusioned.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that disillusionment was because they thought they could start thinking things, but there is a process between thinking, and you do want to think things out, because there's consequences when you move into a power thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a time when you drop, boom, it's like a line, boom, and you drop into that quantum field with a power thought, and then you come back out. And if you think back at all the times that you've really manifested something, you know that it's a different feeling. It's a difference between...
Well, and I do know that sometimes my manifestation's been magical when
mm-hmm.
it's just off the cuff, ASAP. So I know from what you're saying, that means everything was lined up.
Mm-hmm.
There was an emotion behind it.
And you weren't needy.
And sometimes I was being funny or
right.
glib. You know, I'm a good old Gemini.
And I'm nonchalant.
Exactly.
And
all of a sudden I go, holy mackerel, here it is. And I was just, you know, I'm going, how come manifesting is so easy sometimes for things that aren't necessarily great for me?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's why I say, when you do manifestations, opportunities will show up. You decide if you want that opportunity or if you don't want that opportunity.
Now, one of the things I love, I just want to back up before I forget this part, which I won't, I don't think, but it's about many people will say, golly, I've got this really deep, dark feeling, and I'm so afraid I'm going to manifest from it. And you're saying, wait a minute, you can take that deep, dark feeling and empower a conscious manifestation, right?
Well, the deep, dark feelings are a couple of things. One, it could be precognition, because that will happen. You know, you've got a feeling that something's not right. A feeling is different than an emotion. A feeling is like your radar, your gut saying something is wrong. Emotion is more fiery.
Okay, so if I'm thinking about anger.
Okay, anger is good. Yeah, you can take
jealousy.
Anger.
What about jealousy?
Yeah. So you can take anger and you can power that and you go, I want a magical life. Now here's an example. I knew a man who always got red lights.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he got red lights, it would be this completely interpolated environment in the vehicle. And finally one day I got so fed up with it, I said, listen, you're manifesting your reality every time you're taking all that emotion and all that anger and saying, I always get red lights, blah, blah, blah. And I said, the next time you get a green light, I want you to take all that emotion and all that anger, and I want you to look at that red light, and with all that passion, I want you to say, I always get green lights. And he thought I was flipping crazy. And he just looked at me, and when the next red light comes, and he growled at that red light, I always get green lights. And he looked at me again, and within moments, he started getting green lights. And green lights. He couldn't get a red light. All he would get is green lights. And it so freaked him out that he didn't ever talk again about it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But it was his mind couldn't wrap around it, though, to make it part of his life. You know, we're not taught that our thoughts and our emotions, and we can power it to affect the world around us.
Yeah.
And so... he went back and now he gets red lights again.
Oh, no, really?
Well, because he keeps energizing it.
Yeah.
So remember I was saying earlier that there was three things that really affect how and what you're going to manifest?
Right.
All right, so the first one is attitude. Okay. Your cup is either half full or it's half empty. Mm-hmm. Or as Einstein said, you have to decide if you're in a friendly universe or a hostile universe. And it completely affects how your thinking goes. This is a man whose cup is always half empty. And so his energy and his intensity is around that. And so I don't know about attitude, if it's a fundamental part of our character or what it is, or if we can change that, but I'll have to think about that. I think it's a difficult thing to change. The second thing is our God concept. If we have a God concept where we're a little dweeb, and we have Santa Claus in the sky or an external God, and this external deity says yes or no based on our prayers and has that discernment, then we're always going to be looking outside of ourselves. It affects so many things in life because we're always going to be looking at somebody to save us. There's always going to be a savior outside, and somebody to take care of our finances, somebody to take care of our health. Somebody else is going to save us instead of us taking responsibility for making those decisions. And that's why the message was until it's time for the healers, awakened ones, to begin manifesting consciously, to heal themselves, the earth, and each other. And part of that healing really is our God concept. So the other God concept, and this is where people are constantly trying to move to, is that God and I are one. God and I are one. It's within me. And from that place of being within, that's how we can be our most authentic self, because we're completely paired up with our higher wisdom. And that's how you can be authentic. And so one of my Eastern teachers, he's quite a miracle worker, and I was talking to him one day, and I said, what prayer do you say when you do these miracles? What do you do? And he said, the prayer that I say is I'm just this man, this ordinary man, just like everyone is. And when I'm doing my work for God, when I'm doing my work in the public, the prayer I say is, let my hands be your hands. Let my heart be your heart. Let my voice be your voice. Let it begin now. And he said, this is not to some external God who's taking over me. What it is I'm stepping in to myself, into my higher self. I'm making a conscious agreement with myself to step into my power and to be responsible with it. And in that place, I'm powerful in love, and love heals. It outflows, and it heals, and it creates miracles.
Well, that's wonderful.
Do you want me to say it again?
Well, maybe say it in another way, but I really like it. Yeah, if you could use that quote again, it's beautiful.
Let my hands be your hands. Let my heart be your heart. Let my voice be your voice. Let it begin now.
Wonderful.
That's for your people who are writing things down and taking notes.
I'm writing it down. Well, that's really wonderful. So you're just saying, I mean, I really identify with that, the God concept, because the authority that is keeping your good from you is something I think many of us labor under, don't we?
It is. Mm-hmm. One of the most important questions I got was from a woman in Toronto when I was teaching, and she said, well, when I'm saying my manifestation process, I want a magical life, boom, and create that intention field so it's around me, who am I praying to? And I thought it was such a great question, because you're not praying to anybody. What you're doing is you're lining your mind up. It's like, imagine, every cell in your body has got a magnet. When you don't know what you want, your magnets are all fighting against each other.
Right.
When you do a really strong manifestation intention to create an intention field, I want a magical life now. Boom. It's like you take all those magnets and you polarize them so that they are completely directed all in one direction. And all of a sudden, you're going to see things around you that have always been there. Magical life is always right there. It's just that if we aren't aligned to it, we can't see it.
Well, I agree with that for sure.
I want to jump to anybody
before we run out of time, because I want you to do the sacred forgiveness.
Gosh, are we already getting close?
But time. The Blue Book of Inner Wisdom. Can you talk a bit about that? That's such a great thing. The Blue Book. We think of cars and.
Yeah, this is my third book that I'm working on right now. I've written two other books previous to this, and this comes from a time when a man who had died 12 days later showed up in a meditation circle that I was running. And about a year and a half ago...
What was his name
happened,
again? Homer?
Homer, mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And the first two books are really about the beautiful messages and the story behind that, and we don't have time to go into that right now. But so that happened 5 years ago now. When I was teaching about a year and a half ago, Homer, I call it Homer and Friends, showed up again, and for months I was back in this altered state the whole time, and these beautiful messages started coming through that was so powerful. I have a chapter of it on my website where you can read the first part. But
and your website is elliedrew.com?
Mm-hmm, ELLIEDREW.com. And it'll bring you to the ConsciousChange.org website. It's just easier to remember, Ellie Drew.
Okay.
And it talked about the original mind had a thought, and the God force that went through that thought and created this prism of light and sound, and that we are the perfect sound. Gosh, you know, it'd be beautiful to just read that section to you, but I hope people will go to the website and read it. I've had people who have had healings just reading that section. It's going to be a really powerful book, and I haven't read anything anywhere like what this information is.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, I think, during that time that the fullness of the sacred forgiveness ceremony started coming through also.
Mm-hmm. I like this, is it a subtitle, Architecture of Reality?
That's what they called it.
Huh.
They used the crossed circle
mm-hmm.
To start describing things.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about the original, Trinity, the original Trinity.
Right.
And what that was about. What they, see, I had started writing the manifesting book 9 years ago and lost it in the computer.
Oh.
And 20% of me was absolutely devastated. 80% of me knew that there was a reason. What they're telling me in the blue book of Inner Wisdom, I mean, that was the name that I was told to call this book. What they are telling me is that you know the basics of how to manifest and how to create intention. We're going to give you the architecture that's underneath that, that's foundational to that, so that you know why intention works in the first place.
Hmm.
And I was just blown away hearing that, going, okay,
because
yeah,
I was listening to you talking about quantum field, that wasn't that long ago, where that phrase didn't have as much it didn't have as much meaning to as many people as it does now.
Yeah. They talk about resonance fields. They talk about coherent resonance fields. I mean, I go to talk to my ex-husband about what is the resonance field and what's coherent mean, and you know, he's giving me the engineering terms for it. And it's making complete sense on it.
Hmm. Well, it looks really exciting.
Yeah,
we're like it's like 22. I think we should probably do the sacred forgiveness meditation now, so at the end we can tell how people can find you and about what you're doing at the Dowsers Conference, and also that there's going to be special after the conference. There are special conferences or post-conference conferences. And
right, I'm
that.
Teaching a post-conference workshop. Okay, so let me just introduce the sacred forgiveness ceremony for a moment then, and actually get a glass of water here too.
Too much yodeling.
Yeah. the forgiveness ceremony started coming to me in pieces, and it started with a man who was in my Qigong class that had a really rare form of skin cancer that was on the surface of his skin. It was a very odd kind of thing. And finally, one day, I asked him to come into my office. I said, let's do a reading and just see what kind of information we get about this. And I ended up seeing far away this man in another lifetime with a tea detonation box. And it was Murray in another lifetime, and he exploded this. And the next thing I know is that 30 men, women, and children had accidentally died. And what I see in my vision is these 30 egg shapes that show up on the bottom right from my perspective. Two of them look like they were neutral or kind of deadened out. One of them was just bright white, but there was a cord that was connected to Murray in this lifetime. The other 27 were just there as bright white lights. And I said, well, I don't know what this is about, but in it I got that this man had, when these 30 men, women, and children had died, that he had karmically taken on the blame for that. And remember when I was saying, be really careful when you're manifesting, when you're in a lot of pain and suffering? He, in that moment, in his pain and suffering, when he, and it wasn't even his fault, when he realized that 30 men, women, and children had died, he dropped into his pain, dropped into his center, and said, I can never forgive myself for this. I need to pay for these lives. How am I going to pay for these lives?
Mm.
Boom.
Mm.
All right. So then I thought, well, what are these two eggs that kind of look neutral? And I went into one of them. Boom. I'm in a past life. Look like Europe at some point when it had gotten before child labor laws. Anyway, it was in a big wooden factory. It burned down. He was with his mother. He was killed with severe burns. Same with that second egg. He was killed. And I realized that karma is not something that's given to us. Karma is something that we make an agreement with in our pain and suffering.
Hmm. So it's karma is a manifestation, then.
That's right. That's why I said before that that my manifesting work is so critically important, and what I was saying about it transcending lifetimes. These really deep ones. Well, I said, you know, I don't know what to do with this, Murray. Let me go ask somebody else. So in my mind, it's like changing a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to this really deep place inside of myself, and I say, I have this man before me who needs grace. I don't know what to do for this. He is suffering in this lifetime. Apparently, he has suffered two other lifetimes. He needs grace. And I hear this voice that says, so bestow it. And I said, what? And I hear again, so bestow it. And I said, no. I heard the words, bestow it, but what do you mean? I have no idea what this means. So you have to explain this to me. And I heard, and I'm explaining this to Murray as I'm going along. I said, I hear, when one comes before you with a sincere heart, they may ask forgiveness to all those they've done harm to or perceive they have done harm to, and they can ask forgiveness, and it shall be given.
Mm.
Well, as wonderful. I'm saying this, Murray, all of a sudden, bursts into tears and starts begging for forgiveness. The most startling thing happened to me. The rest of those 27 eggs that were all bright light, they all of a sudden had strings that were connected up to his higher self. And the first egg, at the farthest away, it dropped its string, and it looked just like a fuse burning up, and it was gone, and the egg popped out of existence. The next one dropped its string, gone, and pretty soon they're all gone. What I saw here is that as Murray gave forgiveness for this and asked for forgiveness for this situation, that not only did he become free, but the ones that he was tied to became free also. And so the lesson that Jesus gave us before he died was, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He knew this. He knew, I don't want any of these ties when I leave this lifetime. I'm forgiving you flat out, right up front. Now, whatever issues you guys have, they're your issues. They're not mine. I forgive you. And so the spirits told me there were three forgivenesses. The first is the forgiveness of self, because we're harder on ourselves than anyone else is. The second forgiveness is to ask for forgiveness from others for all those things, real and perceived, that we have done others. And the third is to give forgiveness to others who have done harm to us or our loved ones. And over the years, as I have worked with people, I have found that in wars or anything that happens to us personally, we tend to go, okay, I died in this car accident, next lifetime, or I died in this war, okay, next lifetime. However, if something is done to your loved ones, if something is done to your daughter or your family members or your village, that's what harms the spirit. And that's when people go into deep pain, and that's when they make these manifesting statements that can affect so much. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is the hatred that happens in the world, that in wartime, you know, there's so much hatred that it creates this intention field of more hatred. And so forgiveness is really, really critical.
That's moving the whole collective, isn't it?
It really is. This truly feels like my gift to humanity, is to do this sacred forgiveness ceremony, and I do it as a keynote special evening event, and I will be doing this at the West Coast Dowsers Conference on Wednesday night, I believe.
On Wednesday night.
Monday night.
That's the final Wednesday night, maybe?
Maybe it's Monday night. Anyway, it's sometime during the conference I will be doing this. And good news for your listeners is that I've filmed a live presentation of the 45-minute lecture and the Sacred Forgiveness Ceremony, so it will be available on my website on DVD soon. So just keep that in mind.
That's exciting. It's
yeah.
wonderful.
Yeah.
I really, the whole thing about manifestation and forgiveness together, I mean, one really has a huge impact on the other, doesn't it?
And I had no idea,
isn't
Veronica,
right?
I had no idea.
What a
and it made me realize why it was not time for my manifesting work yet to come out, because this trans-lifetime piece was missing, the forgiveness piece was missing. And people who go to the forgiveness ceremony, they say they don't even know that ceremonies like this existed. It's such a unique thing.
Well, is it really rude to ask you if we can have a thumbnail?
You're going to do it right now.
Yay, I'm ready.
Okay. So we have until 5 o'clock, yes?
No, we only
have
till 5:02.
Okay, so give me, let's see, so we have about 5 minutes to do this, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so just give me, you know, interrupt me or just let me know when we have about, you know, a couple minutes left or something.
Okay, perfect.
All right, so close your eyes, take a nice deep breath in, move into your center. Your center is right through the center of your body. Feel as if you're pulling and drawing away from the external world, moving into that center place. Use the breath to sink down low and even low into the lower belly area. Really be present in your body. Feel as if you're standing or sitting in a beautiful place and you're being showered by light. Beautiful light that's preparing you for ceremony. Washing you, cleansing you. Move into a place of a sincere heart. That is your key that unlocks everything, is a sincere heart. And move into the first forgiveness, the forgiveness of yourself for all things real and perceived in this lifetime and in all lifetimes. For all the things you could have, would have, should have done that you didn't do. Forgive yourself for all those expectations you had of yourself that you could never have done because you set your expectations so high. Be present. Be authentic. Allow yourself permission to be your most authentic self. Whatever that is. And whatever that is, your community, your family, your friends, your world needs what that most authentic self gifts are. So forgive yourself for not living up to your expectations or anyone else. Take a nice deep breath in and release it. The second forgiveness. Ask others to forgive you. Ask others to forgive you for those things you could have, would have, should have done, for all things real and perceived in this lifetime and in all lifetimes. For that time that you didn't help somebody when you promised that you would. For that time that you could have been a better parent or a better teacher or a better employee. Ask forgiveness for all those things that you know you could have done better on. And that you end up beating yourself up over. Ask forgiveness from these people so that you can release those ties and draw that energy back to you and have it available so that you can really do something more productive with that energy. Ask forgiveness for all things real and perceived in this lifetime and all lifetimes. You don't even have to know what they are. Just with a sincere heart, ask for forgiveness. Take a deep breath in and release it. The third forgiveness. Harm comes, not so much for what's happened to you, but for what has happened to your loved ones. Is it time for you to forgive others now because it holds you back from your life? Give forgiveness now because it doesn't serve you to hold on to those angers and those frustrations. It doesn't serve you. Give forgiveness to that grandparent that beat you, to the parents that weren't the best, or to the teacher that didn't inspire you, or whoever has been in your life, in this lifetime and in all lifetimes, for things that are real and perceived. Give forgiveness. You don't even have to be conscious about what you're giving forgiveness for. Just have a sincere heart and say, I release all these ties where I've held grudges and hatred in my heart. I release them in love now so that I can be free and you can be free. I forgive. I forgive you. I forgive you. Deep breath in. And let it go.
Wonderful.
There's another part to the ceremony that came later, and that was a man who had committed suicide who showed up into one of my circles, said he did the ceremony with his family. I said he had no issues with committing suicide, but he didn't know the pain he was going to cause his family, and this really helped him. And he asked that once we do the forgiveness ceremony for ourselves, will you do it again at inviting those who are in the unseen realms? And we hold space for them. And so in the ceremony, we do the forgiveness ceremony again, and we call in our loved ones, we call in our ancestors so we can start clearing those ancestral lines.
Excellent. That's really important, isn't it?
It is. Especially with this manifesting thing about not letting things go.
And I love that with the eggs that you described, mm-hmm. and the fuses burning up and so on. It just reminds me of so much work that we do with beings on the other side and old lives and old connections. String, string, string.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Would you like to talk about, you just have like 1 minute to talk about, are you giving an extra class at the Dowsers Conference? Is that
I
what
am. I am doing some of the core pieces of my work, the manifesting piece, some really good practical exercises, energy exercises, so that you know when you're in your power center and to be in your power center. I'm doing that on Wednesday the 9th from, I think it's 9 to 4:30.
Oh, good.
So,
it's a full day
workshop.
Yeah, it's
really intense mind training. I don't waste time. I start on time. I end on time. I'm hardly give people a break because I have so much information to share.
Do you give them sandwiches?
I don't know what they're going to do for lunch, but I'm sure there's
I'm
a lunch break,
you.
But I'm going to make it as small as I can.
Well, I really appreciate this, and I'm very excited to meet you in person at the Dowsers Conference. You're also giving a talk right in the middle of it somewhere, right?
Yes, I'm doing the Sacred Forgiveness Ceremony, and then I give two other lectures during the conference itself.
Excellent. And if people want to stay tuned to the Dowsers Conference, it's westcoastdowsersconference.org, I believe?
I'm not sure what it is, but you can go to elliedrew.com and go to the calendar, and there'll be a link on the calendar to their website.
Well, and it's in Santa Cruz for anybody who can get on the bus, get on the train, get on the plane, or just... by locate and
yeah,
just join us
right.
All there.
And I think they might record these also, so for people who can't come, they might be able to get recordings.
Excellent. Well, Ellie, this has just been uplifting, and I've certainly gone through some huge manifesting understandings. I have a million questions for you, but time has kind of chomped its way through.
Yeah.
And
well,
we didn't bend time well enough, you know, which is a new manifestation for me.
Yeah. Well, I'm just so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
It was wonderful. Thank you. And it's elliedrew.com for anybody who wants to keep in touch with her schedule and your manifestation practices and a whole bunch more, the chapter of the blue book for inner wisdom and all the rest, which I won't list now because we're going to be hooked off stage. Many blessings, Ellie.
Thank you.
All right. And that was wonderful, wonderful. For me, it really pumped up my ability to do manifestation work. We'll talk about that on another Radiance by Design. And my next person on Paradigm Shifters is Amalia Comatero, and I don't think that's how you pronounce her last name. But she also, like Ellie, only different because there's no shamanic worker who has exactly the same process. But she is very, very exciting and is going to be talking about her journey to move to Sedona from Australia and to become really attuned to the messages from the rocks, which tell a lot about not only the history of the world, but the potential of all our spirits and so on. It's very exciting, and she works with the process, not of sacred forgiveness like Ellie, but of sacred dance, which moves us through an integrating process with the wisdom of life on this wonderful planet. Now, Thursday night, I'm going to be with Jackie Salvitti on ET Healing at 8 o'clock. That's 8 o'clock Thursday night here on wonderful BBS Radio. And next week, I have two more guests right now. I can't remember. Oh, yeah, Harold McCoy, who's just an amazing dowser. For many years, he's done healing work with dowsing, which means changing your energy fields, working with your higher frequency, bringing in higher frequency, and so on. And he's a little bit more seasoned, a little older, meaning he's been on the path a very long time and has had some amazing results. And he has an institute, the Ozark Mountain, I believe, Learning Institute, and it's all about learning to use your mind as well, which links up with what Ellie does. And then at 5 o'clock next week, we're going to interview Alan Handelman, and he's a comedian. He's funny, and he's very, very spirited. He's going to talk about the humor of spirit and moving into consciousness and so on. I think that's going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to all these interviews. Next week's going to be fun. All right, this is Veronica Entwistle saying see you at the top of the hour, only a couple of minutes away, where we're going to talk with Amelia. No, it's not. It's Amalia Comatero. So stay tuned if you can for our current paradigm shifter, Amalia Comatero. Many blessings. Much love to all of you. Thank you for listening, and thank you, Ellie.